Welcome to the Militant Grind Show, where we dive deep into the journeys of those who've mastered the art of being their best selves. Every episode is a testament to resilience, dedication, and the pursuit of excellence, embodying our tagline, the most honorables. Here you'll find inspiration, insights, and strategies to elevate your life in every aspect. For more empowering content and to join our community of achievers, visit us at militantgrind.com. Let's embark on this journey together because the grind never stops. Are you ready for a radical transformation? Join the ranks of the most honorables. Our proven methods forge resilience, sharpen strategic thinking, and unlock your true potential. We'll challenge you mentally, physically, and spiritually, preparing you to overcome any obstacle. Visit militantgrindacademy.com and begin your evolution. Greatness awaits. Forge your path, ignite your future. Most of all, join the movement.
Today, we are thrilled to host Tabitha Thorell, a dynamic speaker, best-selling co-author, life and business coach, podcaster, and seasoned real estate investor. Alongside her high school sweetheart, Tracy, she has been navigating the real estate landscape for nearly two decades, building a legacy of wealth for their five amazing daughters. Tabitha's passion lies in helping people turn their dreams into reality, empowering them to live life on their own terms with her balanced energy and persistence. Tabitha, how are you doing today?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Sherman?
I'm doing amazing. I was just thinking about Tracy and the things that he has to deal with six women in the house. It's, oh my God. Like, I couldn't imagine having, I have two daughters. I have four children in total, two daughters, two sons.
Yeah.
But five daughters? Ooh.
Yes. Yeah. And we have toddlers and teenagers. So everything in between. Yeah.
Oh, so that's a good mix. So the teenagers can help with the toddlers. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's a good balance. There's a big gap between our third child and our fourth child because we weren't sure if we were going to have more and we couldn't decide. And then we're like, okay, let's have one more and then have another one. So yeah, there's a pretty good gap in there. So our older ones help a lot.
Oh, that's good. Good. Going to try for a son?
No, we're done. I'll just have a lot of grandsons someday.
And Oh, yeah. You have to have one. At least one, you know, yes. For sure. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. That's good to hear. So speaking about, I was just thinking about like how you went through things in your life and things like that. But it's kind of interesting because you started off with your high school sweetheart and you two were just navigating life together. I'm not sure how old you are now, but I'm sure it's over 20 years you guys have been together, right?
Right. Yep. So I just turned 39.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yep. And we've been together since I was 15. So.
Oh, wait. And so how was it for you two kind of like growing up together and just like trying to figure out life?
I always tell people he was just really like my saving grace because I'm the youngest of five and my mom had an autoimmune disease. So she was ill a lot. And then my older sister had a mental illness and became addicted to alcohol since she was like 14. So being the youngest of that and seeing that at a very young age, I saw a lot of life before age 15, like before I met my husband, I went through a lot. And I think my oldest is turning 15 this year. Mm-hmm. And I look at her and I'm like, oh my gosh, she's so sheltered. She hasn't seen hardly any bad stuff compared to what I had witnessed by the time that I was 15. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people that have seen way worse than me. So I'm not going to play that game. Mm-hmm. But my best friend was my sister and watching her battle alcoholism was definitely really troublesome. And I tell people, God put Tracy in my life because I could have followed in that path really easily because I wanted to be just like my sister. So God putting him in my life at a very young age really helped me navigate just everything that has to do with self-worth and girls and promiscuity and getting attention from men and all of those things. I had him and he is a very noble, patient, kind. We're very opposite personalities in a sense of he's very quiet and introverted and I'm a little more extroverted and kind of life at the party. And so it was a really good balance and it's what I needed in my life. And that's why I totally believe in God's intervention because I knew at age 15 that I said, if he would just date me, we would get married someday. people thought I was crazy. And I just knew it was just like in my heart, it was like a certainty of we're going to go through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But that part of it was, I was certain about.
Wow. It's amazing how you could just say that. How you knew that you're going to go through a lot, because I often feel like nowadays people see, they'll probably look at your situation, right? But, you guys been together since you were 15, you were high school sweethearts, you're lovely now, but they're not thinking about the trials and the things that you guys went through in order to stay together that long. Notice that it's not usually just like a straight road is curvy. I've heard of people breaking up, dating other people, getting back together, and this is that and the third. And I'm just like, wow, what a journey. But I mean, hey, you guys are still together now.
Yeah. It was definitely not easy sailing, especially when you're in high school and you're immature and you don't know. We took a couple breaks in there, one in high school, one in college. Mm-hmm. And it was really his patience, because I was impatient. I was like, I wanted things now. Let's do this. Let's move. We know. And it was really his patience that was like, no, we need the timing. And so that's what makes our relationship work, though, is that I push him out of his comfort zone because he gets really comfortable and he doesn't like change. But he also inspires me to be more patient and just wait, and that things good, all things happen in the right timing. And so it's a really good balance that way.
All right, this question may have nothing to do with anything, but I would just like to know, what are you two zodiac signs? So,
I am a Gemini. Is that what you mean? Is that,
Yeah.
Okay, just I don't even know all this. I know I'm a Gemini, and he is Aries in March. He's March 6th.
Yeah, that's a Pisces. Okay.
Pisces.
Yeah.
Okay, Pisces.
That's a different balance. Because like you say that you're kind of like, I'm the same way, but I'm a Taurus, but I'm kind of like, I like to go out there and make things happen. You know what I mean? But my wife, she's like the chill one, like a little bit more stable, but our birthdays are 2 days apart, which is kind of funny.
Right.
Like
I
know a lot of people somehow, some way, like everywhere I go, you'll hear somebody like saying my name or whatever. And she's just, oh God, here we go again. Like pretty popular, but she's someone that's just kind of like she's stable. And I feel like that's what's needed to bring balance in a relationship. Because if it was just me, I'll be wilding out like, oh, I want to buy all of this stuff and this and that. And she's the kind of one that's just like, hold on, let's pace ourselves, let's chill. So I could definitely see that.
Oh yeah, to pull the reins back in. Cause I'm very like, I'm just jumping with both feet. I'm like, let's go, let's move. I'll think about the details later. And he's kind of like, wait, like we invest in real estate. And so sometimes his thinking serves us and sometimes my thinking serves us. I kind of look at that and say, okay, like where do my strengths fit in? Where do his strengths fit in? When after being together so long, and we take an active role in each other becoming better. Like we are not stuck. We know that the best version of ourselves is who we become tomorrow. He's constantly like trying to make ourselves better and each other better. And if there's like a rift in the relationship and just taking a step back and really looking at it like a servant relationship, like how can I serve you? How can he serve me like in that way? Because I know that the marriage, and I'm sure I'll get controversy on this, but when the marriage is strong, everything else can be strong. But when the marriage is breaking, everything else seems to break. You even look at business and kids. When that relationship is struggling, and especially if there is a divorce in there, it just seems like everything else can just be like crumbling down. And so we know how important that solid foundation is, even if stuff in the business is struggling, even if we owe the IRS money or our kids are acting out or whatever, it's if we are strong and connected, it's like we can get through it.
Right. Yeah. Cause other than that, it's going to be like double struggles. I feel like if you have double struggles, your mind is really going to be off and it's not going to be balanced. Cause if you guys are together and say you have a crazy struggle, and if you have a solid foundation, it's like, it's going to be okay. Let's be patient. We still have each other at least.
Yes, exactly.
I feel like that's very important. So whose idea was it to become an entrepreneur?
Well, we both hate working for other people. So we kind of knew that. He by trade is a farmer. So that's more of a family business type thing. So it's, you don't have a boss, but you kind of have a boss. And so that dynamic's a little bit different. I am just, I'm stubborn. And so I don't like to work. I can work for somebody else if I have to, but I just really prefer not to. I like to design my own life. And so we kind of knew that from the beginning. I always kind of thought I'd be a counselor or a therapist until I realized that they don't get the best results. And so I said, well, that's stupid. Why would I go to school for 8 years and get a doctorate if I'm not going to like truly help people? That was just my mindset when I was in college. I mean, I'm not saying that there's not therapists or counselors out there that don't make a difference. So don't send me hate mail. I know there's amazing ones out there. Yeah. But when I got done with my bachelor's, that was what my advisor told me. She said, hey, I know you want to make a difference. I'm just going to let you know that by the time they come to us, most people get divorced. And I was like, what? Like, I want to get people results. I want them together, you know? And so I knew that wasn't the route for me. And so it just really pivoted at that point. And it just seems since then, everything's been a pivot. It's once I think I figure something out, we have to pivot. Once we figure something out, we pivot. And so I feel like that is the entrepreneurial journey, is just being able to pivot and move and figure out your gifts and what you're really called to do on this planet and to serve other people and try not to reinvent the wheel. Look at other successful people and say, what have they been doing? What can I do? And not overthinking it.
Right. And it just dawned on me. I'm sure you probably see me go, ooh, what? Because I started thinking about my family members that went to marriage counseling, right? Mm-hmm. And every single one of them, even including one of my friends that has went to marriage counseling, has got a divorce.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what is up with marriage counseling? Like, what's going on? Are they saying things that make them realize, you know what, maybe we shouldn't be together?
Most of the time what happens is by the time people are to that point, one person already has the foot out the door. Because they keep things in so long that they're like, but they kind of, the other spouse usually, okay, let's do this one last ditch effort. But the other person is already gone. That's why I really tell people, even if your marriage is great, go to like marriage retreats, go even to marriage coaching, do things together. Even if you think it's great, let me tell you, because I've been with my husband for 24 years. There are things that you think that you have wounds from past experiences and whatever that will come up. And if you do not address them, they will eat away at your marriage. And whatever you want to say, the enemy, the opposition, whoever, they are going to use that to get in the middle of the marriage. Because if there is no strong marriage, like I said, everything else crumbles. Like, you'll see businesses fail because that person went through a divorce and all this money and all these ties and the kids are ripped apart. And I'm not saying that kids from divorce can't live amazing lives. There are, okay? But if you ask them, would they want their parents together?
Yeah.
Most of them are going to say yes. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at marriage counseling, it's not usually the counselor. They try to do the best that they can, but you're literally trying to patch up the Titanic. Like, it's sinking. Right. Like, it's already going down. And so that's why I'm a big fan of, you'll see like marriage coaches, or if you can go on a retreat or anything like that, where you can just really address, or even yourself. I've just done a lot of internal, like healing myself. Cause for a long time, I thought my husband could heal me and fix me, and he can't. Mm-hmm. And so I had to do the work. And there's some things that if he wants healed and fixed on, he has to do the work.
Yeah.
And so you just have to love them and be like, hey, this is the thing that happened. And most of the time in marriages, it's something that person internally is struggling with. If it's money or time, or if they feel lonely or neglected, or if they turn to porn or anything like that, it's a wound that they need healing. And so when you kind of realize that in marriage and think, okay, what can I do to help myself? So my spouse, because no person on earth is going to fix you.
Right.
Like, you have to do the work. And then when you're healed, then you can love fully and you can accept any helping hand that person has for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I often tell people that everyone is their own individual. And just because you're together, you're still a person that you have to guide through life yourself. I tell people that all the time. Like, you have to get the help for you. You have to do things for you. You have to do things that you enjoy that's outside of the marriage.
Yep.
Because you two aren't going to like the same things. And you have to be like, oh, you want to do that? Oh, go ahead. Enjoy yourself. I'm going to do this.
Yep.
Yeah. And I had a long conversation with one of my friends last night. He's married, and we were just talking about divorce. And it was just like, we were talking about how it impacts the kids and things like that, right? And his parents are still together. My parents are still together. And I've had to tell him, I was like, we don't really even know the impact divorce has on people because we're not products of it. Like we have no idea what it does. But after I told him I started a podcast and I just talked to people and I asked him, so when was the turning point or when did you start feeling like this? And a lot of them say it's when my parents got a divorce.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's like I had to be like conscious of that and tell people, like, if you have kids, it's going to impact them in a way that you probably may not like at all. Right. It's not favorable.
No.
And I feel like that's a huge risk.
Oh, yeah. And I think kids are resilient. So people are like, oh, they'll be fine. And they will. I'm not saying like all kids that come from divorce are just, they have all this baggage. We all have baggage. My parents aren't divorced and I have baggage, right?
Yeah.
But you can look at it and say, there is a reason you married that person. Mm-hmm. Now, I know there's other circumstances, there's infidelity and there's all of these things. And I'm not trying to sit here and say, you should always stay together. Yeah. There's definitely things that happen. But what I'm saying is a lot of times when there's conflict, we have to look at why that conflict is there, because you fell in love with that person. You did not marry them saying, oh, one day we're going to get divorced. We all go in with good intentions. And Tony Robbins always says this, like when you first start dating and somebody says, hey, honey, can you take out the trash? And you're so excited. You're like, yeah, honey, sure. I'd love to help you. And then you've been married 10 years and you ask them to take out the trash. They're like, what? Take out the trash. And you don't want to serve them anymore. And you lose all that honeymoon stage or whatever. It's if you can get back to that of why you love that person.
Right.
There's still that conflict that doesn't go away. There's still issues. And even with my husband and I, there's still stuff that comes up because there's old limiting beliefs and stuff that come that he doesn't even know exists. And he'll do something and it just triggers me, like to be lonely or left or helpless. Fine, I'll just do it myself. Those things are triggers. And I just know that it's not him. But if you don't become aware of that, then you think it is that person. Right. And you think, oh, if I just change that person and I just marry someone else, then that will be fixed. And that is the biggest lie. Mm. And then you bring that same baggage and that same person to that next relationship. And that's why I think second marriages, it's 70% fail. Second marriages, it's like even higher than first marriages, because you don't fix that. You don't heal that. And I like to use the word heal over fix, because it's truly a healing. Like we all have these wounds that we have, whether conscious or subconscious, and you bring those into the relationship. And if you don't, your kids will feel that. And I just constantly look at my girls, because I have 5 girls, and I think, I don't want them to have the same daddy wounds. I want them to have the best relationship with my husband. So how, as a mom, can I help with that relationship? Instead of being jealous of the relationship or thinking like, oh, your dad's never home, how can I say, oh, your dad's working and he's providing, and how can I take you out to him so you can see him in the tractor? Or what are the things that I can do to mend that relationship? Because I don't want them to have the same relationship that I had with my dad. So I think it's just looking beyond yourself, and we're all selfish. So it's really hard sometimes. I mean, even me, it's sometimes I just want to be mad. I'm like, no, it's going to be mad and I'm going to be right. We all want to be right. And it's, I wasn't, and I shouldn't be mad. And that's just, I think, maturity in a relationship of just admitting, you know what? I wasn't right. And I don't have to be right, because I'll be honest, in a marriage, if you want to be right, you might as well get your divorce attorney, because it's not about being right. It's about looking at it in a whole. And I'm not saying the other person's right either, and compromise and all this stuff. It's just looking at things differently and looking at it in a non-judgmental way and saying, what's the best way?
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Because there's times when I was like a huge time when I was called out on my BS, right?
Yeah.
And it was like, read this. And I read it and I was like, yeah, that sounds like me. It was a DSM-5. And it was just like, read this, personality disorder. And I was like, oh shit, golly, I do have that. Okay. Now what do I do to fix it? Like I know that this is what the problem is, and I think it's hereditary. So what steps can I do to make myself better, so I won't treat other people like this or in a disfavorable way? Right. And when you're honest and, like you said, aware, I mean, great things can happen. Because I feel like our ego just wants to say, man, no, I'm all right, or I'm not going to do this, or I'm not, nah, man, I'm not. And I've started to notice that. And I tell young men this too. I'm like, man, it's such a constant journey to improve yourself for the betterment of your spouse, your family, you, your children. It is just continuous and it does not stop. I don't even think that healed is a real word. I'm constantly healing. Yes, it's so constant because the negativity is still there. It's still a part of you. And like you said, it could trigger.
Yep.
So it's like, for me, I know I have a bad temper, right? Therefore, I don't put myself in situations that'll bring out a bad temper. But I had to be honest with myself. You know what? No, I'm not going to be do this or do that or go here or go there because I know what will come about that. And then I remember hearing growing up where people would say the crazy people are really the quiet ones, the ones that's just chilling, not paying attention to people. And now that I'm older, I'm starting to think, I'm like, yeah, that is true, because crazy people know that they're really crazy.
Right. And they're just in their own head, just quietly lining up in their head. Yeah.
Yeah. They're a ticking time bomb. And next thing they just explode. It's going crazy. And I was just like, self-awareness and being brutally honest with yourself is so important. And I had to, and I just, well, you don't know, but I did this last week. I said, social media is irritating me to my core. Everything is fake. People aren't authentic. Everybody's trying to look like something. And it would just irritate me. And then I thought, instead of being irritated all the time, just deactivate it and don't get on it anymore.
Yes.
You know, like I just had to do it. It was just like, and then I found an old Facebook page and I was like, I want to deactivate all of it. And so I found it and I had to log on to deactivate it. And as soon as I logged on, I seen something that pissed me off that reminded me why I don't want to get on it.
Right. Right.
I was like, this is just so, and I was like, you know what? I just can't do it. And people could hit me up and they're just like, did you block me or this or that? I'm like, look, man, I am sensitive. And because I'm sensitive, I had to let all of that stuff go.
Right. Well, that's why I don't get on Instagram, because I just look at it and I just naturally am a dreamer. And so I'll see other people doing this stuff. And then it brings envy in my heart. And I don't want that there. When I have things that I know are triggers. And so I'm like you, it's just, don't do it. Don't tempt yourself. God doesn't put stuff in your life to tempt you and think, oh, you have enough willpower. You ask God, do not lead me into temptation. That is the Lord's prayer. That's what you need. You would never have someone who was an alcoholic. When my sister was an alcoholic, we didn't have alcohol in the house. I would never tempt her that way and be like, well, you should just have the willpower.
Right.
So why are the things that we have, whether that's anger, envy, pride, why would you put yourself in that position and be like, oh no, I can just have the willpower to get through it. Is that really what you're supposed to do? Or are you just supposed to avoid it? Have self-control. Say, I'm not getting on social media, or I'm not going to put myself in a position to gossip about somebody. I'm going to steer the conversation or not talk to those people. Cause every time I leave, I feel icky and gross. Like I need to take a shower. It's just, I think we all have FOMO. It's like, oh, I might miss out on something. Or what if I don't do this? Or it's that sense of urgency. And if you sounds like your personality type is a lot like mine. It's you want things yesterday and you're driven and you're persistent and you want this. And those are great things, but it can also lead you astray where you have to ask for humility. Mm-hmm. And it's not, when people say humble, I think they just think this little meek person, or you just can't brag, but that's not all humility is. It's admitting when you're wrong, forgiving someone, even if they don't deserve it, looking at stuff and saying, I don't have to be the smartest person in the room, looking at your marriage and saying, I don't have to be right. Even if I am, if I prove it, what's that going to prove? Really taking yourself and saying, why do I always feel the need to put that ego? Is it, am I self-conscious about something? Is there something that I'm not working on to help that with my confidence and things like that? And that's what I'm learning, like with humility, is it's more than just not bragging. Cause I was never somebody who was a big bragger,
right?
But I noticed that I had to be right. And I'm the youngest of five. So I was always like the little one that had to scream at the top of my lungs to get attention. And so it was like, I had to be right to get that significance in the family dynamic. And so when I see my girls and I feel like they need to be seen, I look at them and I'm like, talk to me. What's going on? How can I help you feel loved and seen today? And I think that's where we're all, you talk about social media, So many people, they just want to be seen. Yeah. They want to be heard. And it's all because they want to feel loved.
Yeah.
And we all know that it's fake on social media, but it still sends endorphins to our brain that says, hey, you're liked, you're loved. And so then we don't have to address the empty feeling of like when we were five and mom and dad weren't there. And that's one of the reasons why my husband and I started the Family Legacy Project, is because mm-hmm. we want to help entrepreneurs build wealth with their families, mm-hmm. bring them in so that their kids feel like they are a part of the wealth you're building, instead of you building it and then you leaving it to them. And then they almost hate the money or the business because they look at it like, that took mom and dad away. I hate money, or I hate that business. I don't want to do it. I'm going to go over here, instead of nurturing and saying, hey, you don't have to do the family business, but this is what we do. And your strengths would really be good here. And this is why we invest in real estate, and teaching them and saying, hey, when we get this goal, we get to go to Disney World,
yeah.
or we get to go buy that lake house, or mom and dad get to come home an extra 2 hours early, or whatever that is for you. They see that and they're mm-hmm. like, oh, that's what I want. I just yeah. want the attention of my parents, and I can do that. And it's bringing them on the vision. And it's not that entrepreneurs or business owners intentionally don't bring them in. It's just, we're so go, 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 building the mm-hmm. next thing, doing the next thing, that sometimes our kids become collateral damage, and they're not supposed to be that. You're supposed to be doing that for them, for the legacy, for beyond you, and for generations to come.
Right. And with them, say Militant Grind, I have my own clothing line, and my daughter asked me for money, and I was just like, you're about to be 11. You shouldn't be asking me for money. Well, you know, like, I was yeah. making my own money at that age. So I thought, I was like, let's create a brand for her and create t-shirts online. Cause I'm like, it's so simple. You could figure it out. So at first I was like, write a business plan, do this, do that. And within a couple of days, she had sales, and she was just like, oh my God, daddy, look, I got a sale. I got this, I got that. And I'm like, yeah, you are capable of doing things for yourself. No, you yes. don't have to look for handouts. You could actually figure out a way to make money. Cause I was just thinking, like, we didn't have the internet. You had to go outside and sell something. I sold yep. candy to my classmates, right?
Yep.
I'm just like, these days, I mean, you can make money all over the world with just an idea. And
oh,
so
yeah.
use your creative mind and bring about wealth. And so oh, yeah. I helped her create her own brand. I have my own brand. I took her to the place where I get my t-shirts made. She saw how he makes it, how he does it. And I was just including her in the process.
Love that.
Taught her how to use Canva and all of that. And it just created a bond.
You know, oh,
and
yeah.
she wants to learn how to trade. And I'm just like, if you include them and teach them what you're doing, it'll create something between you two. And you never know, you might get an idea from it, because it's a young creative mind. Who knows?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And
yeah.
like you said, you have bonded you two. Whether she continues to do t-shirt sales the rest of her life, or she pivots or does whatever, mm-hmm. you guys have that memory. And that's one of the things, like with this group, we want the young minds, the kids, to mastermind together, to build businesses and share yeah. those tips and have those other like-minded kids. Because like, we go to public school, we live in a very rural community, and we love it. We have great teachers. My kids can walk to school. It's amazing. But there's mm-hmm. not a lot of like-minded kids there. They're not like thinking investment properties or building t-shirts. It's funny you said that, because my daughter saw that on Etsy. She's like, mom, I want to sell t-shirts. You know, so we want to get them kid like around other kids that they can mm-hmm. mastermind. They can do things together, so they don't feel like they're alone. Again, your peers are so important. As much as I want to bond with my girls, I know from especially age like 10 to 18, their peers are the ones that are going to really help steer their course. I yeah. want to be the biggest influence, but let's face it, their peers are. So when mm-hmm. you can bring them in a group where they're like, oh, they think like me, or they do this. And we invest in properties. And my oldest daughter, she wants a car. And so we're like, okay. So our thing is, we match her money. So she has to earn and whatever. So if you earn $1,000, you're going to get a $2,000 car. There's no more, no less. This is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, you can do that, and we'll do that. Or you can buy an income property. And we've been telling her this.
Mm.
And I did what every parent does. You just tell them, right? Like, you should do this, or this, this. And finally, she just kept shutting the door to it. And I said, okay, let me ask you this. I said, what do you think it takes to get an income property? And I just sat back and I listened. And I think, I mean, and I'm guilty of this, so I'll throw myself under the bus. But as parents, we don't just do enough listening. They talk about that with your ideal marketplace, right? Like just listen to what they want. Mm-hmm. And so I asked her, I said, what is it? Because she kept like getting this anxiety about money. And I don't want that for her. I was like, mm-hmm. no, I always had anxiety about money. Let's shut this down. So I said, what do you think it takes? Well, you got to work really hard and you got to earn a lot of money. And then you can go maybe buy the house and then you got to fix everything and do all that. She had all this mountain of things that she mm-hmm. thought she had to do. And I said, okay. I said, what if you and I went online and we found a house and then you and I and daddy went into the bank and you got the money because you know us.
Right.
And she goes, that's all. And then we took you to our property manager and you shared with the property manager the property that you want and how many tenants. And then they filled it for you and they managed it for you so you could go to school and you could do your sports. Do you think you mm-hmm. could manage that? She's like, that's all I have to do. And I'm like, that's really all you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was breaking it down. She goes, well, I could do that. So all I really have to do is find the property. I'm like, pretty much in a nutshell. But it got me thinking of all the people that we meet that say, I wish I could do what you do. And I'm like, these are the steps.
Right.
Because yes, we are helping her get money. But if I was talking to you, I'd say, who do you know? There's creative finance ways. There's things that you have access to. But we make such a mountain out of a molehill that we don't even get started. And we don't listen. And we don't, our brains are so like confused and overwhelmed that we just don't start. And so that was just a breaking point of just seeing her. And I want to break those ties for her and be like, you can do this. And then you're going to have a reoccurring income and we're going to make it so it's cash flow positive for you. And then when you're in college, if that's what you choose to do, you don't have to, you can have your friends paying you to live in your house. That's what my right. husband and I did. We've been doing this since I was 19 years old. And so just getting them to think of that, but then also even with your daughter, how many people would love to start a t-shirt business, but they have made such a mountain out of a molehill? And it's, hello, people, the steps are there. YouTube's mm-hmm. there, your podcast there. There's great nuggets in all of these things. Mm-hmm. And yet we make such a big deal out of something that is really little.
That is the case. And that's what I had to tell her. I was like, take your time, look at this. And then she sent me what, you know, her business plan. And I was mm-hmm. like, hey, come here. Let me show you some things. What's this? What's that? Oh, okay. I'm going to fix it. And I just had to be extremely patient and know that this is something new for her. She has no idea. Like, I've been writing business plans for years. So I had to just calm down and realize that like her mind is moving differently. Okay. It's not me. And just be patient and just take it step by step. But I feel like a lot of people it's like, oh, they'll never figure it out or, oh, they'll never get this. But then if you've been doing something for 20 years, when you first started, you didn't know what you were doing either. You had to do research. So you have to understand where people are at.
We didn't even do that. I mean, it was like, oh, you want to do this? Okay, let's do this. All right.
You have to learn as you go. Yeah, you're
right. We did. You know what? We struggled a lot because of that. And that's what we don't want other people to do. It's definitely don't do it the way we did it. But there's such beauty in the process of it and the patience of each step. And I think of all the business that we've done, investing and coaching and everything, I always wanted it yesterday. Mm-hmm. And all the moments that God showed me patience was the growth, was the breakthrough, was that. That's the whole journey. And it's never going to end until I'm dead. And so if I want to like quickly get to a destination, okay, that's great. But what am I learning? What can I pass on? What are my girls watching? Again, my relationship, are they solid? Is my health solid? Okay. And then now the business, that's the fun part. That's like when you get to do that. And when people look at that and they look at money as a tool and they take the emotion out of it, and they learn how to make money babies is what we call it. It makes it fun and it takes that stress out. Cause that's what I didn't want for her. She thought she had to make $100,000 or whatever she thought a house was. I don't even know if she knew what a house cost. Mm-hmm. And the thing is she has seen us do this her whole life. She has been in on projects with us. She's helped us renovate stuff. And so why I say this is, parents, sometimes you think, oh, they know, they've seen me. And yes, that is the best way, is to model it. But you do have to just ask them, but what do you think? Mm-hmm. How are they interpreting this? What is my middle daughter, who's 9, is what's rental property? And I'm like, we go to them, we talk about this stuff all the time. But it was just like in her brain. And she's, oh yeah, I know what that is. It was just like her terminology and her different things in the language that we do. And I think as entrepreneurs, it's, we pray that our kids are, because we know the other way is so much, there's so much distaste in like giving your soul to somebody else.
Yeah.
That we hope. But the journey's also really excruciating. So I'm like, do I really want that? We know the reward is so they get to do what they want. And that's what we always tell our kids. It's, we have built this. And if you want to come in on this, awesome. But if you want to build your own thing, we'll teach you how to do that too. We don't want to push our kids into our business. The legacy wealth is not the legacy business or the family business. It can be, but it's just really teaching them the characteristics it takes to withstand money as a responsibility and a business. Because when you have a business, you're dealing with people, and that's a responsibility. And integrity, morals, putting people first, having a great relationship is so important, and a solid marriage, and teaching them those things, not just about the bottom line, not just about making $1 million, but also that it's okay if you want to make $1 million or $7 million or whatever, it's sky's the limit, that that's okay too. And don't let anybody else put a lid on you.
Right. Right. It's interesting that you, you said that you're not sure if you will want them to be an entrepreneur, because I think about that all the time. Because for me, I'm like, I remember I told God, because I'm spiritual. Yeah. I was like, if you want me to work for somebody, you might as well just take me off this earth, because I can't do it. I cannot do it. There's no way. So this either has to work, or I don't know what you're going to do with me. Right. I have no idea. Because I just can't do it. I can't. I tried, and I was like, there's a reason why entrepreneurship works for me and this other stuff doesn't. Like, I cannot do it. And so I thought about it. I was like, well, also, how much easier life would be if I was the type to be okay with having a job? It probably would be a lot. It has to be a hell of a lot easier. It has to be. Like, I remember when I was selling cars, so I would buy cars from the auction and flip them.
Oh,
and
right.
I had a daughter on the way. Stuff was getting shaky. And so I got a call from Wells Fargo that was like, hey, we have, well, this representative from Wells Fargo, what do they call those? Recruiters, right? And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll go interview, $20 an hour off for sure.
Right.
And so I got the interview, got the job, and I was making money. I was like, wow, this is consistent money. This is amazing. And then they were like, oh yeah, you get paid time off. And I was like, what the hell is paid time off? So you telling me if I choose to take off a day, I would get paid the same exact amount as if I'm there?
Yeah.
I was like, what? What is this? I didn't have a clue. And because, well, I did corporate, but I was like commission only. But when I did the salary position, I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. And so I'm thinking about the people that are able to just keep those positions for years and how their life must be.
Right.
I mean, it's not as exciting and thrilling as we will probably like it,
right,
and challenging, but it's just a coast.
It's just, I know.
Like, I know how much my bills are going to be every month. I know how much I'm going to get paid for sure two times a month. For sure, you're getting this check. So you could blow your money and be like, oh, I'm going to get it right back. I'm going to get paid in 2 weeks. Entrepreneurs cannot do that.
No.
No, no. You can't be like, oh, I'm going to just buy this $1,500 TV. I got $15,000 in the bank. Who knows? Because you might need that $1,500 for something. So you have to be extremely conservative with how you spend money.
Yes. Yeah.
No, and it's a different lifestyle.
It's definitely different. And I think it's how you view it. It's, for me, I couldn't do a 9-to-5. I couldn't do the consistency. I couldn't do the, like, every day the same thing over and over and over. But I guess I shouldn't say I couldn't. If I absolutely had to put food on the table for my kids, I would do what it takes, but I would hustle at night doing something else. Like, I'm never going to be content with working for somebody else, having somebody else's dream. God made me a visionary for a reason. He put certain desires in my heart because he knew that I would chase them with full tenacity and persistence. And even when I've had tons of coaching stuff that's flopped or only earned, it's like, you do this and you're so excited and it's, oh crap, like the bills are paid and this. And my husband's job is more consistent, but farming, I mean, we could have a hailstorm tomorrow and ruin our entire crop. I mean, it is, we always say that it's, we're gamblers because every year we plant and we spend all this money and we just really don't know. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, with an entrepreneur, there's no cap. Right. So as much as I don't know how much is coming in, I also know that the sky's the limit. And I think for me and my soul and why I'm wired is that's what I need. And there, God made other people okay with that consistent income and wanting to be there. But I do know that a majority of people hate their job for that reason. They live in that quiet desperation. And why you see people like committing suicide when they're 45 and they have a family and a wife and a job. And they're like, I just couldn't take it anymore. And so it's for me, the craziness, the up and down, the discouragement, the frustration, the I'm not sure if this is going to work, as hard as that is, I look at the flip side and think, man, I could be making 7 figures a month. And I could never do that working at Wells Fargo. Even the president of the company can't make that. Right. And so it's like looking at that and saying, I grew up in a town of 800 people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so living in rural Nebraska, no name, not famous, no one cares, you know, what Tabitha Brooks at the time was doing, could make that. And not that the money makes me important or famous or significant, but it's like when you grow up borderline poor, work living on food stamps, and you think about that, that like $1 million was like $1 trillion. That was just so crazy. Yeah. And I have the opportunity, the resources, the business to make that in 1 month. Like to me, that's what's invigorating. That's what keeps me in the game. That's what keeps me persistent. It's of course, and I get to do it serving people, like making an impact, like not doing something illegal.
Right.
Something that means something.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is like bliss. That's fulfillment. That is life. And so I will chase it because every time I think, oh, if I don't meet this goal, I'm quitting. Like I'm out. I'm just going to be a stay-at-home mom. But I can't. I'm not a quitter. Like it's not in me to quit. So it's like, what do I need to do to meet that? Now, I may never meet the goal of 7 figures a month. I don't know. I could die tomorrow or I could live to be 120 and do it and whatever. Right. But right now, if that's what pushes me to help that many people and to continue to fill my mind with wisdom so I can give it back and be of value and be of service, and you get the money that I could go and help people who don't have the same resources and the same opportunities, and I can help feed their family or give them brand new backpacks and they've never seen a brand new backpack. They've always gotten used or little things like that. I could pay for somebody's dinner and not have them know, or buy somebody a car and leave it at their front doorstep. Like to me, that's what's so invigorating. And I would never get that for working for somebody else ever. And then I'm just stubborn. I don't like somebody else tell me what to do. I'm like, that just in of itself is, I know stubbornness can be an Achilles heel, but in this circumstance, it can definitely serve me.
Yeah, I'm definitely the same way because I've never been as frustrated as I could possibly be, like besides like working for someone else and having them control my life and my destiny. There's something about that that just makes me want to just, I can just get into a rage. Like, I can't believe this, or somebody trying to sabotage you at work just to make them look better. I've even had that happen. And I'm like, why are you playing with my money? This isn't cool. What's up?
No.
You know, and you can't do anything. You can't beat them up or nothing. It's just, oh my God.
Yeah, well, if they tell me that I can't do something with my kids, like your kid is sick and you still have to come into work, I'd be like,
I have a story about that. Let me tell you this. So this is when I really had the turning point, right?
Yeah.
So like I mentioned before, I had a child on the way, started working at Wells Fargo. So she was born in June. I started in January. Yeah, I started in January. And so I have my child on Saturday. And it was a C-section. And her and her mother had to remain in the hospital. And so I'm like, I have to go back to work on Monday. And I was crying in the bed that Sunday. Like, I cannot believe I left the mother of my child and my child in the hospital to go to work.
Yep.
I was pissed off. I had to literally like abandon them and drive like, how far away were we? Like 40, 50 miles away. And it was just like the worst feeling ever. I was like, I can never have this happen to me ever again. And then on top of that, okay, I got a job, everything's cool, whatever. Then I get laid off. And I got laid off in November or October, one of those months. And now I'm like, so now what am I gonna do?
Yeah. And you feel like what you did, you sacrificed that for them, and then they're just gonna let you off. There's just no.
I developed a skill set. I was working hard. And when you're working for a company, they try to make it seem like there's gonna be longevity in the position to make you work harder. That wasn't the case. And so it was just like, I was just frustrated. I'm like, I developed this skill. I was doing good. I did the best I can. Next thing you know, you hire like a whole center of people and you don't even, I mean, I kind of figured that it was happening because the work got slow, but then it was just like one day they were like, hey, everybody, let's get together. So we're closing the site, da, 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 da. This is your last day. And we were like, what? It was bad. Developing relationships with people. I mean, it could have been good if it lasted 4 or 5 more years for me, but hey, that's how life turns. But then it's like that lit a fire under me.
Yeah.
A big fire. Like I was like, yeah, I can't never have this happen again. And like you said, like taking off to take your child to the doctor or do this or do that. There has to be one parent that has the flexibility to do that when you have multiple kids. It will not be possible if you have a parent that's like a surgeon and one that's like an attorney and they have to be where they're at.
You'd have to have full-time nanny that could do it all. And then your kid, just like right before this podcast, I took my daughter to the dentist because I was able to. I had an hour and I was like, I'll take her, and was able to maneuver it. But I look at your layoff, and of course you look at it in hindsight, but it's maybe that's what you needed because you were comfortable and you have a spirit of entrepreneurship. So it's, but if you're comfortable, and there's a lot of listeners here, you're comfortable. And as a coach, I'm like, I want to get you uncomfortable because I do see what your kids can be and what your relationships can be and your impact can be if you just get uncomfortable. And I know what you think you're doing is right. My husband did the same thing. He was a provider. Men have this wiring, this desire to provide, and you're going to do whatever it takes. And I commend you for that. But there's also things when you can get uncomfortable and maneuver things around and just trust that God is going to provide the path for you, that things are so glorious. There's a reason why in the Bible, and I don't know if you have a lot of believers on here, but the story of the Israelites, he took them the long way because he knew that he had to work some things out. Now the glory land was there, like everything, milk and honey. And we all reach for the glory land, right? Of the luxuries that we want. But sometimes we have to go the roundabout way and get uncomfortable and build those muscles and build that mindset that can withstand the luxury. Otherwise we just get fat and lazy when we get there. I don't want to be fat and lazy. I always want to be the top of my game and doing this long haul. I'm going to live to be 120. So I got a lot of years ahead and I got to build that tenacity and the mindset. And so, you know, looking at your journey, it's like that layoff, it stings, but it's probably what you needed. Cause you said you might've stayed there 4 or 5 years and just been miserable. And
when you really look in hindsight of your life and you start to think about every single situation that happened, good or bad, it had to happen to bring you where you are today.
Oh yeah.
Because I know that if I was making $100,000 a month at 32, I don't know, I probably would have been, I'm not even sure if I would be married. It would have been crazy. But I did hit like a good streak in entrepreneurship where I was making $20,000 to $30,000 a month, like profit to me. And I was just like, oh man, this is amazing. But I feel like I got too lax. I would be like, okay, I work couple hours a day, go to the gym, go out, do whatever. But I should have been like more strategic with it. Okay, I'm making this money. I still have to work at doing something or building something to make sure this is sustainable. So you could even get comfortable while you're making the money.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Yes. Like you could be like, because I say you as a coach, you could be like, oh, I just got a three or four $10,000 clients in 1 month. I could chill now. I could go to Puerto Rico, or I could do this, or I could do that. But then it's like, where's the discipline to keep going or taking that money and doing things with it so it's sustainable? Because no business is really going to be sustainable forever.
No.
Especially in these days. It's like, it's impossible. Like, something new pops up like that, like, that could wipe out your whole entire business. For instance, artificial intelligence.
Yep.
Oh my God, that's gonna wipe out so many industries. Oh my God. Yeah.
No, it's you always have to be innovative in that. And that's why we teach people wealth building, because wealth is different than income building. Like, you're building your income, and that's great, and you need that to live. But your wealth building and creating those money babies, that takes a different kind of strategy. That takes a different kind of mindset. That is tweaking stuff and saying what fits in with our current plan, because you're only one person too. So it's like, how can I do this? And I know there's a lot of real estate gurus out there. You go on YouTube, you go here, and everybody is this and flip this and wholesale that. And it's okay, that's awesome. But one thing that we struggled with was finding the right mentor that was like, what do you want? Do you really want another business, the real estate of business? Because that's a little different. Or do you want something that's like helping your family, building that wealth, something that you can formulate systems around and then just duplicate and have kind of in your back pocket? Nothing's passive. So I'm not going to sit here and feed you a line. People are like, oh, it's passive. Nothing is. You still have to manage it. You're still CEO of that real estate. You still have to feed your brain and learn how to communicate things so that stuff runs efficiently. But you can definitely do it in a way that is profitable for your bottom line and for your family and bringing them in on it. And that's the thing that I feel like that's the holy grail. Because if you have one more thing that takes you away from your family and your relationships, you're going to end up alone, because your kids aren't going to want to hang out with you when they're older because they didn't get to know you growing up. And your wife or husband is probably going to leave you because you didn't get to spend enough time with them. I mean, that's just the reality of it. So it's like, when you can marry that and say, I can build that business I want and build that wealth. I have that income and I have that certainty of that working for me. Because we've been through two big housing recessions, my husband and I, and we're still profitable. We're still growing. We're still building. And it's because we did do it. I mean, we did a lot of things wrong. And so we'd like people to get there faster, but we also did a lot of things right. And it's just taking those things and duplicating it and then just trusting that process.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like that you said that, because it also reminded me of myself, because I'm like, I was always the type of person that was like, how can I make the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time?
Right. So, oh, we all do. I mean, no, we all want that instant thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I hate it. Because I say, I grew up, you know, my dad was always trying to fix something or put down hardwood floors, tile. And I absolutely hated that with all of my might, because I was just like, this takes too long. It's time consuming. And I was like, I can't live like this. Like, I don't care. Even though my grandfather was a carpenter, but my grandmother, she made money with her mind. Like, she had an online business. She was selling dolls, and she created a system that allowed her to accumulate wealth. And I love that. I was like, so you're telling me you posted up something on eBay and somebody's going to buy it and you're going to ship it to them wherever they're at and you're making money. That was cool to me. That wasn't like cutting tile and doing this and doing that. And I'm like, she made a couple $1,000 in one day just going to a show. And I was like, wow, look at all of this money. Because I was the one doing the cash register. But it just taught me that it just depends on what you can create creatively to make that money. Because I often say that entrepreneurs are creatives. The real entrepreneurs are. And I had a conversation with one of my friends I was in a business association with, right? And he was like, Sherman, you're a creative. And I was like, what? Me, a creative? No, that's weirdos. There's no way. I'm a businessman. And then I started to think about, well, first off, he started to say, well, Sherman, look at your tattoos. Look at how you create businesses. Look at this, look at that. And then I started to think about it. I was like, oh, shit. I am a creative.
Yep.
That's why I could create a business plan or some type of system, but I cannot work it. Like, I could create it perfectly, But like you said earlier, the day-to-day task of keeping it afloat, oh my God, I'd be like, oh, I can
sounds so
find
much
it.
like me. I'm like, I can create it, but can someone else organize it and keep it going?
Oh, for real, like I can't do it. Like somebody else has to make these calls, answer, even do the knick-knack stuff, and just have me work on the macro, like the micro. Like something is something
Amen.
About it that just makes my brain go, I don't know what it is. But if you're like,
it's
hey,
not fast enough. The micro isn't fast enough for you. Like you're like me, you're a visionary. You see things in big picture, and micro is that detail, slow stuff, and you need it, but you don't necessarily need to be the one who does it.
Right.
That's the thing. It's, I think people forget that it's, oh, well, then I do need this. Is, well, you're only one person. And if you are the visionary, if you are the person who sees things in big picture, then you need to spend the time doing that and having somebody else. And that's where I'm at right now, where it's like hiring people that sometimes I'm like, can you just be inside my head? Cause I just need this done this specific way, and teaching that. But that's just becoming a good leader, a good CEO, and like showing these people, this is what needs to be done on the day to day. And I need to be over here. Like for me, it's like speaking. It's like getting out on other people's podcasts. It's creating new programs. It's me gaining wisdom, processing it, and being able to reverberate it back to somebody who doesn't have, maybe in simpler steps, because I'm good at that. And so it's like doing that. It's connections. It's relationships. Who can I meet today? Doing that stuff. I don't need, and I've been managing my calendar, and I'm like, I need to find someone that can manage my calendar, because I hate that, say it's beneath me, because that sounds egotistical, but it's, I need to spend my time on these other things. And the other stuff is trainable to teach this, to manage my calendar. Cause I have six schedules that I got to do. Cause I got five kids and a husband, mine, seven. I have seven schedules that I have to manage. And it is crazy, but it's, I don't want it to fall through the cracks. Me being a mom, I still want to be super mom. Me being a wife, I still want to be super wife, but I also love podcasting. I love speaking. I love helping people build wealth. So I have to be able to wear those hats and then learn to delegate the other stuff. And that's been hard for me, because, you know, I'll just do it all. That's just my mind. I'll just do it. I'm a workhorse. I'll just crawl into bed tonight, pass out, wake up, do it tomorrow. But that's not good for my health. And that's not good for my marriage. And that's not good for my business. So learning that and taking that into account is really important if you want to grow in anything.
Yeah. And it's like knowing yourself, because I had a business where I was doing data entry, and then it dawned on me, something was like, I got a message in my head, man, you could hire somebody to do this. You need to hire someone. I just wasn't like, man, I could do that myself. And so then I had to stop. I was like, hold on, a monkey could do this. Like, what the hell? You're really? And then I'm telling you, I swear, once I hired two people and I basically wrote out everything I was doing step by step, right? I was just so thorough with it. And then I trained them, and my business went from like profiting $100,000 a month to $30,000.
Wow.
Because I was focused on the big stuff. They were focused on, okay, and it was just so fruitful. Like, where the person that was working for me, they're still asking me till this day, do you have a job, because like I put so much money in their pocket. Like, I helped them get married and do all of these different things, and I just love that. I was like, man, I created a business, I was profitable, and I had 8 employees. They were all happy making money, and that was just so fulfilling, because within that I was changing people's lives. And I had to change the way I thought about it. It was like, you're not really doing this to make profit. You're doing this so you could bring people on and change their life with your talent. Because you know you can't do, like we just mentioned, the day-to-day tasks. So imagine if someone is just struggling, they need an opportunity, and you were able to bring them an opportunity, AKA a blessing. So focus on what you need to focus on. And just keep it going. And I just had a counselor. I was actually on a podcast, and then me and the guy became friends. And he was like, yeah, I want to talk to you about some stuff. And it's called the social psychic, right? And so he ended up talking to me, and he was just like, Sherman, you're more so the person that that has to deal with things, like you said, the big picture, the visionary. If you can't do the day-to-day tasks.
Yeah.
And I was like, I kind of know, but then I have to do it. But now I'm just like, nah, he's right, because I will not do it. There's something about it that's just stopping me.
Right. Right.
I have no idea. I'm not sure if you feel the same way, but it's, I can't.
Taking like sales calls. Somebody asked me like, what do you struggle with in your business? So when we had baby number four, I withdrew a little bit from coaching because I was like, got newborn and we had baby number five right away. So we had two newborns and I was like, so when we relaunched this, I was like, I just don't want to take sales calls. I know what the process is. I know how to do it. I know they say, no, you need to take some and know your avatar and stuff. And I'm like, I'm just not going to do it. Like I only have so many hours in the day.
Yeah.
And no one can go on a podcast and speak for me or go to a summit and speak for me and sell from stage like I can. I'll sell from stage all day long because I'll use my voice.
Right.
But I need to perfect my craft. I need to also, the real estate market is constantly changing and investors and things and terminologies. And I have to be out there learning this so that when people come to me, they feel confident in what I know.
Yeah.
And also so I can train them and they have an understanding and they can go out. Salespeople, there's a million salespeople, like you said, that want it and that need it. And I know what I can deliver. And so we will get a lot of referrals anyway. So it's, I'm going to bless somebody. And so right now I'm focused on, okay, I need a sales team that's going to go out there. I need a marketing team that's going to go out there and get the leads for the sales team. But I do not need to be the person that's out there doing that. I just need to build the team that's going to go out there and do that because I just know I'm not going to. I could spend 2 hours on a sales call because I'm coaching the person because that's naturally in me. And they're like, stop doing that. They're not going to buy yourself. I'm like, but it's in me. If I know that I can help somebody, if I keep that from them because I need the sale, I feel horrible. I don't like that. I get off the sales call. Yeah. I need that person that's in between. They're great. They're great for the program. They need this, whatever. Just get them in the program and let me do my thing. Because in between doing the sales, stopping is really hard for me because I was wired to, if I have a solution, I'm going to give it to you.
Yeah.
And so just knowing that about myself, no matter what the gurus say, no matter what yourself, do it. Like you said, you're not going to do that like micro entry things and then things fall through the crack and you're missing stuff or money's going here and not there. That's why we have an accountant. That's why I'm going to hire a tax strategist this year because I'm like, all that stuff makes me crazy and I don't want to do it. But I know I can go buy houses. I know I can go renovate houses. I know I can coach. I can do the thing over here. Let me live in that. And everybody else is long. And that's why you have to make money in your business because it's you give, receive, and it's ever flowing. You can't just hire all these people and then not have something of value to give. But I constantly work on my mind, which means I will always have value to give.
Right.
And I think people stop there. It's if you're constantly taking in knowledge that you can serve somebody with, then you will have a business and you need to trust that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I'm the same way. Like I watched 6 hours of training yesterday on Father's Day. Do you want to go anywhere? I was like, no, but I really just want to watch this training so I could learn this new stuff so I could develop a business out of it. And that was my thing. I just love that. I want to learn new stuff so I could help serve people a lot more, serve people better.
Yeah.
But then, like you said, some people are like, well, you need to get in front of people and do the calls and I'm like, I don't want to do that, man. Yeah,
I mean, let's be real. A sales call is a sales call. I know there's different strategies, but even when I go on them and I know like the person's going to pitch me, I know the whole system of how they do it, psychology and stuff. And most people know nowadays. So I can train someone to just have a human experience. Mm-hmm. And if they're ready, they're going to come in. If they're not, they're not. And just like letting all that energy go. And just one of my mentors said, become divorced from the outcome and then just bring them into me. Because here's the thing too, I'm very empathetic.
Yeah.
So if I get the no, I know people are like, let it fuel you, but I don't. I like, it like gets in my soul and I'm like, how can I help that one person that said no? Why did they say no? I need to dig deeper, you know? And then I spend all this energy and I have all these people that said yes. And they're like, hey, hello. And I'm like, but that one person, that one sheep got away. I got to go get it.
Yeah.
And so if I don't know, then I just am bliss and go over here. And so my energy needs to be in the space of the people who are yes, who are motivated, whether that's buying income properties or building up their family wealth. Mm-hmm. They said yes. So let's go. Let's move.
Right. Right, man, you just had me think about when I was trying to sell solar door to door, and that was horrible. Oh my God. I don't know if I would rather do Prime or do that. It's just so intense knocking on somebody's door. They
Yes.
answer, they're mad, they're sweaty. Who are you? And they're in your face. And I'm like, how are these people doing this and making all of this money?
I know.
There would be people that were making a killing, but for me, it was daunting. It was like, I can't do this.
I
Like,
know.
it's hard for me to pop up with someone and be like, you know what? They're not interested anymore. And it just
Right.
hurted my soul. I was like,
I know. I
yeah,
know.
yeah.
I can't. It just kills me. What do you mean? Well, let me call them. I heard about their dog, and is their dog okay? Because when I'm communicating with someone, I know usually like how many kids they have, if they have a dog, if they're divorced, and then it's I know that they said no because of internal struggle. So it's like the counselor in me is, let's go there. Like, what daddy issues do you have? What money issues
Yeah.
can I break free? But that's my coaching. That's not sale. I mean, that's
Right,
not the
right,
sales
right.
process of it. So I'm learning, and that's this next year, especially 2025, is like developing that team, getting enough income with this new baby. Cause I mean, like our revenue, we just started this. So, like, this part of the process, we have other businesses making money, but this process, it's I need to be making money in this and then building up a sales team and building up a coaching team so that I can look at the long term and still be at my kids' events, still be there for my husband, still investing in real estate, but be there for the people in my coaching program and not let them down. Cause let me tell you, I've been in some coaching programs where I'm like, I don't know how you guys sleep at night. Cause you're just horrible at customer fulfillment. And I'm like, I
Yeah.
do that. If somebody comes into my program and then they've been in there and they think this is crap, I will give them their money back gladly. Because if that's what you think, even if it was their fault, even if I gave them everything they needed and they didn't, clearly there was a disconnect and I wasn't able to break through. And that's my job as a coach. And if I failed that, have your money back, because I don't want that. I feel like that's blood money. And so many coaches out there are really good marketers and they're like, well, you didn't do the work. You didn't
Right.
follow through. And I get that. But at the same time, were you there? Were you connecting with them? Were you, this was a $10,000 program. I don't know about you, but it's like $10,000. That's a lot of dinero for people. And so when you're
Yeah.
following through on that and you just think, oh, well, we said this and blah, 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 and you're blaming the customer, there's a disconnect there. And that's where the coaching industry is getting a really bad name. And if you come into my program, it's I'm there to serve you. And money is a tool because I know it'll get you to work and it'll get me to work and it'll give me resources to give to you. But it's if you're unhappy with that, why would I want to battle this out? Now, I mean, I know there's some people that are shady and do that anyway, and they're takers and they're not givers. I don't want them in my culture anyway. So see you later.
Right.
Like, money will come and flow. And if you want to take, it's just like someone who robs you. You can be mad at the robber, or you can just be like, you know what? You didn't take my mind. You didn't take my kids. You didn't take my husband. So I'm good. And I'm going to move on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I love that you're saying this because I feel like coaches, well, there are coaches out there that really, really help people, but it's
Yes.
getting a bad rep because coaches are now labeled as the new scammers.
Yeah.
And I could see it because, like you said, $10,000. I mean, some people, like, say I talked to this one guy for 15 minutes, and he was like, yeah, well, my program is 7,500 and you'll have me. I'm like, what am I getting for 7,500 exactly? That is a lot of money just to talk to you for you to tell me how to do something.
Right.
I don't feel like that's enough. I mean, that's like,
You have
come
to
on.
have, you have to have that result, especially as a coach. If you don't have any tangibles, it's you can't just be the how-to anymore. It has to be like how I can get you to follow through, the techniques
Right.
and the strategies, even in a group setting, even like with our program, it's who can I connect you with that's going to advance your business or invest in a property that's going to advance you in that matter. What doors can I open for you that make it quicker, faster, stronger, more
Right.
than just how to? Now that can be worth $25,000. That can be worth $50,000 because that can add $1 million to your portfolio, or that can add
Right.
$1 million to your income. That those are different things than just like teaching me to how to connect with people on Facebook or Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay, well, those are how-tos, and there's a thing called the University of YouTube or Google. There's all those things. And that's like with ours, it's if we handhold you and we bring you other connections of people of like-mindedness and make it simple and faster, and we can help you bring closer connections to your kids, those are things where the value starts to stack a little bit more.
Yeah.
And so it's, I might not be the best marketer out there and use the right language or whatever to get you to buy now and sell now, whatever. And those are skill sets that, I mean, I struggle because I could be really good because I do use my words very well, but then it's like the borderline of manipulation. It's, I don't want to ever make anybody feel like they said yes when they weren't sure. And there's so many coaching programs out there. And I actually finished one and I just look at it and I was like, I look at the whole year and I'm like, that was manipulation. And then I look at it and I'm like, yep, that was manipulation. And I looked at it, but because I'm such an optimist and I always will find the good in something. And I will like, I'm such a visionary and a dreamer. It's, I want it to work so much that when you're in it, you're just like, no, okay, I'm going to do this. And it served me. And so that's fine. I like that about my personality. I don't want to become jaded in that. But I look at it and I'm like, but they say that they don't do that and they do. So do they think that they don't and they've just kind of drank the Kool-Aid?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they really on this bandwagon where it's, that's what they are? Because I studied Scientology and then Jehovah's Witness, like different religions and like what, how they got people in and like persuasion, like human persuasion, because I love human psychology. And so I looked at that and I did a lot of like studies on that. And I was like, I can see why coaching gets a better app, because when you compare it to some of this, these other cults and these other religions, it's kind, people are kind of doing that. And yeah, it's like, you want people to still have the freedom of choice. Like, I'm a Christian. So God gave me the freedom of choice. He put me on this earth. He could have made me a little robot. He could have manipulated me and been like, you will love me. You will do what I want on this earth and you'll come to heaven. That's not why he made us. That's not why we come to this earth. Otherwise we'd just be in heaven. Right. So it's like, when I want somebody to come into my program, I know there are certain things that I could do to manipulate you. I know there are certain tactics that I could make you feel really bad about yourself. And people say that's the driver and the negative and dwell on that and this, but is that really serving you? Is that really helping you heal and create impact and advancing your life and in creating those businesses and those things and those opportunities for you and your family? I don't think so.
Yeah.
So if I can serve you on that level, I want to be able to do it without you feeling like you need to take a bath after you talk to me, join my program. Like, that's not what I want. And I had this program and literally that's how I felt. But then I'd say, oh no, they said that's just the integrity, blah, blah, blah. And I was like drinking the Kool-Aid. And now I look at it and I'm like, that was my intuition. That was just like warning sign.
Yeah. Warning but sign. It's crazy because I know exactly what you're talking about. Focus on their pain points. Right.
Oh,
focus on their pain points. And I'm just like, I don't think I'm that type of person.
Yeah.
Like, I want somebody to work with me because they see the value in working with me, not because I said that you're a grown man and you shouldn't have a fat stomach and titties. I don't want you to work with me because I'm shaming you or I'm making you feel bad, because I look at it, I'm like, I can't manipulate somebody to be like me. It took a lot to be like me. It takes a lot of discipline to be like me. And I know everyone doesn't have that. And that's okay. That's on them. There's people that were fit and lived short lives. People that were fat and lived long lives. That may have happened. It is what it is. But I'm like, if someone sees the value in me, I want them to just see the value and work with me. And I don't want to use shame or some manipulation tactic in order to do it, because I feel like that's short lived and I feel like you will get exposed.
Yeah.
You know, so that's probably like the way I've learned how to develop courses and things like that. It's probably the reason why I haven't really went forward and did it, because I'm like, I don't really want to do it like these guys. If you pay me $10,000, I want you to see tangibles. Like, I want you to be like, man, this person did this for me. He helped me with this, that. I don't want you to take a course that I recorded one time and just like, here, take this course and learn from that. And we're just going to have a few meetings. Like, I don't really want to do that.
Yeah, that's how I was, especially in the fitness industry. Cause I started in the fitness industry.
Yeah.
I could have very easily been like, and I could have put my body up there. Cause I got down to 12% body fat after my third daughter. And I could have been like, look like me and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, why would I want to put envy out there?
Yeah.
Women already have jealousy and shaming issues and body shaming. Why would I do that? And people kept telling me like, oh, you need to put your six pack over there. You need to do this. And I'm like, why? Nobody really cares about my six pack except for me and my husband, honestly, because
the
they
ones that will, you don't want them to.
And that was the thing. It was like, why am I saying, and I'm not saying you got to wear a plastic bag. If you got to flaunt it, whatever, but why would I post that? And then, because I knew what could get the sale and I didn't want that. And that's why I shifted out of the fitness industry really quick, because I was like, dude, I just want to work on their mindset and like what, digging up those old wounds, healing them and moving on. And then it became creating businesses and healing marriages and things like that. And even with the Legacy Well Project, I could really nail the pinpoint for people, and I could really get grown men crying and saying, do you want your daughter to not walk you down the aisle because you were a douchebag to her because you worked 80 hours a week? And do you want her screaming out your name that she wishes you died instead of mom? Or there's a lot of things that I could get people, because the issues come up when you don't spend time with your kids. That's not what I want.
Yeah.
I want them to look at their life, their beautiful life that they've created, and in all the frustration and all the disappointment and all the things that happen in entrepreneurship, and say, it's never too late. Because my dad and I had a horrible relationship until I was in college, and then God redeemed it. And now he's one of my best friends. So there's always redemption there. But there was a lot of lost time, and there was a lot of wounds that I had to heal that I don't want for some people. Mm-hmm. And there's wealth there, and people chase wealth. And so it's, if you could grab that and see it, and that you're, it's not just about money, because wealth is not just about money,
right,
and that you have it now. And then you can see it, like literally look at generations down the line and see that carried on. And you can feel that emotion, that positive emotion. That's what I want them to feel. I don't want them to feel shame and guilt, because we have that already as human beings. And if you're right, a parent, you wake up guilty, you go to bed guilty, because you're like, I should have done this, I could have done that. Right. I don't want to add to that. I want to look at it. Because even with my husband and I, we have not done it right. We haven't done it perfect, but we've kept going. We've been persistent, and we look at it and we think, okay, we need to do this. And remember, we need to do this. But I know that what I'm doing feels so good, because we are family centered. And again, it's not about perfection, and it's not about being the multimillionaire. And if we ever are that, that's amazing, but it's the process and the journey, and my kids get to see it, and we get to do it together. And even if they don't always all understand it, and maybe some of them will branch off and be the black sheep, and that's totally fine. But I know that I did what I could here, instead of just saying, okay, but when I reach that goal, when I reach the 100,000 a year or 100,000 a month, then I'll invest in that. No, my husband and I invested in our first property when we were in college. We were broke as a joke. Like, it was, we knew nothing. We were like, I mean, he had some construction, like he contracted stuff, renovated some homes. And so did I, but we didn't know anything. We didn't know like a tenant agreement. I think we had to go online and see that. His dad had bought a few properties that he'd helped kind of renovate, but his dad didn't know anything. His dad was on a real estate agent. He was a farmer and a rancher. And he said, I'm done with cows. So he sold his cows and bought some houses. He knew nothing. And so we just jumped in. And that's what I want people to understand. It's like, when you talk about the pain points, it's like, we can just talk about that all day long. Or we can look at the blessings that we have right now and what we need to invest and increase in our generations to come.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's such a healthy way to look at life and to look at it. Probably one of the most healthiest that I've heard, because like you said, the whole coaching industry and the shaming and the pain points and this and that. And I'm like, I don't want to be that guy. So it is very refreshing to hear your perspective of it and your point of view of helping people. Is very genuine, because I mean, you could have put your six pack up there. You probably would have been making $1 million a month if you did, but right, your morals were like, nah, you don't want to do that, because there's other things that come with that, that people don't understand. It's like, why is this married woman with kids posting sexual? It has to be sexy. You just can't be like,
oh, yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, it has to be sexy in some kind of way, but then it's just going to get out of hand. It's going to create lustful energy. Men are going to lust over you. Women might lust over you. And you kind of don't want that to be the forefront of who you are. So I want to give you like big, big kudos for that, because one of the reasons why I got off of social media was because of that. Like, it was just irritating to see people you know, damage themselves for a dollar or create like these false identities for a dollar. And I'm just like, you're a parent, like you have kids, like where are your kids at? What's going on? Like, you want to portray that you're just such a, you know, this person and that person traveling. But I'm like, where are these children that you said that you had at?
Yep.
I can't wake up and post this and this and be consistent with all of these different things because I'm a real dad. Like, I wake up to kids every day. So my lifestyle is totally different than someone that could wake up, talk a lot. Yeah, I'm waking up. I'm about to make a smoothie and I'm about to do this. And
my miracle morning and all the meditation. I'm waking up to kids at the 4, coming into my bed. I'm like waking up, trying to get some caffeine going. I'm like, hello, wake up. Like the dog needs to go out and you know, whatever.
Right. It's too much.
It's too much. And then they're like, post on social media. I'm like, do you want to see this chaos? Do you really want to see it? I don't know. I don't even want to see it. And I live it.
Right.
And just it's like you have the cellulite and you have the morning breath and your hair is all crazy. And I mean, it's just, you can, let's be real with AI. You can make everything look perfect. I found this out later, like on Instagram, these women are like, I don't even do my makeup because I just do the filter. And I'm like, there's a filter that makes you look like that. I'm like, I don't even know this stuff. I'm like spending an hour trying to do my makeup, whatever. Yeah. But they're like, it's got this filter. But how, like you said, it's not genuine. It's just like real. And sometimes I wonder, I'm like, if we had a reality show, it'd probably be off the charts because it would just be like, it'd probably be boring for people. I don't know, but we'd just be real. I would just forget they're there and I'd be like yelling at the dog or refereeing my kids and chauffeuring them around and doing all the stuff. I don't know, but yeah.
Yeah, like right before the interview, my daughter walked in here crying. They won't let me use this. And I had to be like, okay, here, give her. All she wanted was attention. But it's just, man, this is not typical for everybody's life, but it's mine. You know what I mean?
Oh, so yeah.
I just have to roll with what I'm dealt with.
Just got to roll and laugh. And sometimes I get in my own head. I just got to say, I just got it real quick. My husband's Father's Day yesterday. Mm-hmm. And my husband works a lot. Sole provider, even with our other businesses. And my dad, yeah, Dad, you're just so funny. You just get the jokes. And I said, what, am I not funny? And they're like, well, you just don't get the jokes, Mom. And I was like, I am funny. What do you mean? And they're like, well, when we tell a joke to Dad, like he laughs right away. Sometimes you're like doing so many things that you just are like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was like, well, you guys live in my mind and try to get the joke of the TikTok video that you're trying to show me as I'm doing laundry and picking up baby vomit and the unloading the dishwasher. And but it got me thinking, it was like, am I doing too much of that? Because I love jokes. My husband was laughing because we do. We love comedy. I just don't like pranks. And that was their thing. They like to prank. And I hate pranks. I think they're stupid. But I was like, just looking at this of like the perception of the kid and what they really think and in our life and how crazy it is. I was like, kudos to all the people that make you laugh. Cause I love humor. So I was like, I am funny. What do you mean? I can get a good joke and just living.
Sometimes I guarantee you Tracy is pretending to laugh sometimes.
Oh, exactly. He's really, and he loves pranks because he's he's like a fifth grade boy. They love the little pranks and like they do these things and they think it's so hilarious. And I'm more like, oh, that's not even funny.
That's mean.
that just hurts somebody. What do you
mean?
Right. All laughing and doing the things or whatever. But comedy, like we love watching comedy specials. Jim Gaffigan, Kevin Hart. Like I love all those guys. I think it's just fun. It's just, I love to laugh. I think just because we serious life, it's all perception. And so now they're like razzing me about it, like now it's like the family joke, mom's not funny. And I'm like, I am funny, what do you mean? To try to make the mom jokes and the dad jokes, but I can be that way sincerely without being hurt because I know my kids and I'm there and I love them and I know that they really don't think I'm funny. Now it's just this joke, now it's the inside joke of pushing mom's buttons to think that she's not funny. So
she gets irritated.
Yeah, then I get irritated with it. I'm like, ah. So now I got to come up with some awesome jokes and be like extra funny, up the standard.
I get what you mean. I'm trying to finish the roast of Tom Brady. It is so long. That was funny. I have to.
We need to watch that.
45 minutes right now.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, I definitely suggest that.
Okay. Well, me and my husband, we like to watch funny things before we go to bed, because otherwise we just think about all the stress. So we like to de-stress
I was the same way until they took The Office off of Netflix. I was like, oh,
I know.
That was a tradition for years, watching an episode of The Office and then going to sleep.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to, because it's just too much going on. So going to sleep with good energy, good thoughts is so important.
Yep.
I always have to do something, read, watch something funny, you know, something. Because life can be chaos.
Yep.
Well, Tabitha, this has been a wonderful conversation. I definitely did not know that it will last this long. like my kids are yelling, they're ready to go to their granny's house. So I have to drive an hour away and take them. But this has just been such a great conversation. And it definitely helped me a lot with my journey, knowing that I'm not a weirdo. There's also people out there that think like me when it comes to certain things and that are brutally honest with themselves, but things just have to be done in a different way. Because I'm sure that you're one of the only people out there like you. Some people are like, I take calls, I do this, I do this, I do this. And you'd be like, I don't want to do any of that. And I'm not.
I'm not going to do it. I know.
Right. And I'm not. I don't care under any circumstances. And then you try, and then you quit. But then it's like, hold on, let's come up with this idea. Oh, yeah, hell yeah, let's go.
Let's go. Let's do this, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, this has been great. I definitely want to check out. You said the Family Legacy
Project.
Project. So okay. Family Legacy Project.
It's actually the Legacy Wealth Project. But yeah, Keep Legacy Wealth is the website. Keep Legacy Wealth.
Keep Legacy Wealth. Okay, cool. And you said it's something for kids as well, right?
Yeah. So our mission is to, it's like a family mastermind. It's I give you the steps to buy your first income property or your second and the systems to how to duplicate that. But the heart and soul of it is we really want to gather families and kids together to mastermind building up that wealth, getting that real estate, but also in the businesses and to connect people. Like you said, being around somebody that's like-minded that can make you feel like you're not a weirdo and for the kids. And our mission is to create a space, an environment for kids to come together and to teach them wealth principles in a way that they receive it. Because like I told you with my daughter, I kept telling her, and she was not getting it. And so listening to kids, making them feel seen and heard of what do you think wealth is and what do you think it takes to make it? And like business plans. And I really have this vision too for kids who have businesses and almost presenting them to the adults in the group, like Shark Tank, and being like, hey, I have this business and I need investors, or I want this property and I need investors, and like just creating a space over time, because I want this to be a place that people can come and they want to stay. And it's not just this coaching program. They come, learn, get out. It's their home. It's, oh no, I want to come in here because so-and-so is good at marketing, or so-and-so has a good sales tactic, or I bring my kid's business and someone's investing in it and that's a good property or whatever. That's what I want to create, because that's what builds the generations to come, because it interlocks people and connections.
Right. Wow. Yeah, I'm checking out your web. This is dope. And you're a part of school. I just joined the group. So
awesome.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. This is amazing. I love what you're doing too. And I love that you are like very genuine and authentic about it. So keeplegacywealth.com. And are you on any social medias at all?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok. I'm actually really working more on YouTube, just getting videos out there and growing that. I tell people, I'm like, leave comments, reviews. Like, I want to know what you want, because again, this is about you. This isn't the Tabitha show. Like, I don't need to be in here bikini and hey, do this. So many people, they just put all this stuff of them. And I'm like, but how's that serving that person? And if it's like humor, like me and my daughters, my oldest daughter is the funniest. Like she just has this natural humor. She can just make anything funny. It's like even entertaining people, like, oh, we love the entertainment, or we like to do the pull the curtain back and show us how to do that. Even like with renovation projects, we're going to do a lot more YouTube videos on renovation projects that we've done, wise, but funny, bringing that aspect in itself. And so YouTube is something that I'm really investing the next year and a half into and just get value of that. I really like it. And then we have the What Went Wrong podcast, which you're actually coming on. And so I love doing that, meeting entrepreneurs, and that's on YouTube and every podcast platform.
Cool. Yeah, I'm definitely excited. I feel like this is a precursor to it in a way. Like, it's like, okay, now I got them. I know exactly what to ask them. But yeah, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be fun. It's good. It's a good podcast to listen to. So many stories of just so many trials. And like you said, where you feel like a weirdo, you listen to these stories and you're like, okay, other people, they have the trials and the failures just like me, but look where they're at today with successful marriages or successful businesses, health, wealth. And it really helps us get out of our own junk. And that's what's helped me over the last 2 decades is listening to people's stories of perseverance and thinking like, man, if they can do that. I mean, Orville Redenbacher did 1,000 hybrids of popcorn before he found that one kernel. And I'm thinking, if he can do that, then I can do a few more podcasts. I can do more businesses. So
yeah, seriously. That's why I love listening to success stories. Like, or and stories of people's journey. Like, I often tell people, like, man, like, Phil Knight could have quit, but if he would have quit, we wouldn't have had Nike. And even like Tom Brady's story, I had no idea about his story until I watched one of his interviews. And I was like, hold on, he didn't really play in college. He was one of the last picks in the draft, and he ended up becoming the greatest quarterback of all time with 7 Super Bowls. Like, what?
Yes.
You know, it's crazy. Like, I'm not really into sports like that.
Right. That's how I am. I hear those stories though, but it's just so, I mean, just even if you're not into sports, it's like that perseverance.
Yeah.
That tenacity you have. So yeah, that's where you can find me and join school, our free group right now. We're going to be doing like a paid upgrade mastermind coming at the end of the summer, really developing that program where we can help invest in masterminds for the kids and stuff like that. But right now, just getting people feet in the door. Okay, let's get you in some income properties. Let's show you the way. Just take that baby step, meet some people. And that's our free group. And it's called the Legacy Wealth Builders.
Cool. Tabitha, thank you so much for being a part of the Militant Grind podcast. Looking forward to our interview on your podcast, and have a great rest of your day.
You too. Thank you so much, Sherman.
You're welcome.
We hope you're leaving this episode feeling empowered. Remember, greatness is a choice. To stay updated on our latest content and continue sharpening your edge, hit that subscribe button. Let's keep grinding together. Remember to visit militantgrind.com.